Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. What a fascinating, amazing text of scripture.
Yes.
Now you can only see Jesus in there because your eyes have been opened.
Right.
Millions of Jews throughout history and present day cannot see Jesus in there. There's a blindness on them. And they've hardened their heart to the truth. They don't want to believe it. That's what we see in the book of Romans, in these chapters. Sadly, that's a reality not just for Jews, but for many, many people on planet Earth. They refuse to see the truth of what God says in His Word. You know, you come here, I think this is the thing we probably take for granted the most. We come here and we understand what Isaiah 53 is. We understand it talks about Jesus. And there's a whole world out there going to hell because they don't know who Jesus is. We have one mission, to preach the good news. The good news. This is the good news that God sent Jesus into the world. And I'm hoping and praying for each of us that today, as you are equipped to do the work of the ministry by hearing the truth of God's word, you will go out there and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, literally, it's not up to me. Though I love preaching the gospel to people who are lost, it's actually up to you. My job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So, do the work of the ministry. Go and preach the good news. Mm-hmm. And friends, today you're going to find out that you have to preach the good news. Mm-hmm. You cannot get saved without hearing the good news. Okay? But there's no way other to get saved than to hear the good news. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe that, then Scripture's wrong. And I'm going to pack it in right now. So you can tell me about all the Muslims who are having dreams and visions, but let me tell you something. At some point, that dream and vision will have to turn into hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Okay? And that's basically the message today, is the power of the word to save. Salvation comes by hearing the word of God. So let me pray. I would love to get us out of our stupor and fear of not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we're commanded to do. Need I remind you, this should not be a motivator, it should be an encouragement that if you will not confess Jesus before people, Jesus will not confess you before His Father. He said that. If you're afraid and ashamed of the gospel by which you are saved, you're probably not saved. Because anybody who has great news has to share the great news. Okay? I don't know about you, but that's just common sense to me. If I found the secret to life and I want other people to know it, I got to open my mouth and tell them what it is. Amen? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, you're all guilty now if you don't. No greater joy than to watch someone's eyes and heart and mind be open as you're sharing the truth of Christ. There is no greater joy, friends, than to know that you have been used by God to impart revelation of the Son of God to someone who has no clue that the Son of God came to them. And I just tell you, it is a joy. It should be a joy. And, you know, I get back to subscripture to Luke 10 where the disciples go out and he says, preach the gospel and do with signs and wonders. And they come back and they're full of joy. And then Jesus jumps for joy because they're full of joy. Anyway, that's a side rabbit trail. Let me pray. Lord, your word is so amazing. I love it. I hope we all love it. Give us a hunger for it. Teach us the truth you want us to know. May my words be your words this morning. Help me expound what you taught me this week so that we could be equipped to believe with all our hearts and convinced, like Paul, that the gospel is the good news of Christ and everyone needs to hear it. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit working too. Open our minds and hearts to receive this truth in Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Follow along with me. Just going to go through slide by slide. I guess I should read Romans 10 first. Let me start verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Just before what Wendy read, Isaiah 52. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Literally, Greek, the word of Christ. Okay, scratch out God, put Christ. Very important, because the message is about Christ. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Wow. Last week when we were together, we looked at the reason why the Jews will not accept Jesus. Jews as a people, not individual Jews. Some individual Jews are getting saved when they hear the good news, but most as a people do not accept Christ. As a matter of fact, when you tell them, when you read Isaiah 53, they get angry. That's not Jesus. That's so-and-so, king so-and-so. Why is it, verse 3 of chapter 10, they being ignorant of God's righteousness? Here's that statement. I just want to expound that statement, because I think that is the number one reason why Jews do not accept the gospel, and so-called churchgoers do not accept the gospel either. Because they do not, according to my translation, they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. God is righteous, holy, sovereign, ruler over all creation. We saw that in chapter 9. He has expectations. And if you have a diminished view of God, that he's not as holy, he's forgiving and accepting and doesn't have requirements to have a relationship with him, then you have lowered God. You have made God in your own image. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this comes about by bad grace or bad theology, where God is very, his mercy is so wide, and he accepts everybody no matter what you do. And that's not God. We have lowered God. And that's what the Jews, really, when you say, I can interpret the word according to how I can interpret it, I'm going to do what I think I need to do to have a relationship with God. Okay, we have lowered God. God has a standard. The moment we say, well, I think my standard's good enough, this is the way I think I should meet God's standard, we have lowered God. Okay? And so when God prophesies all through the scripture that it's about faith, not about works, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Which all the way back to Abraham, Noah, friends, you can even go to the garden if you want, mm-hmm. and you can see Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves with what? A fig leaf. Yeah. Not going to work. God had to kill an animal, shed an animal's blood, take the skin, and cover them. He covered them by shedding blood. Okay, it's right there in the Old Testament. Revelation. Okay, that's how it happens. All the way back to the very first words of the Bible, it's by revelation. Actually, you can go right back to chapter 1. The world is covered in darkness. God speaks and there's light. Everything is initiated by God. Salvation, light, life is initiated mm-hmm. by God. Mm-hmm. You can't work it. You can't make it happen. Mm-hmm. If you do that, if you think you can, like most of the world and most of the religions on planet Earth, if you think you can appease God by your works, you have lowered God and made him like you. Okay, that's what they're guilty of here. So, he's going to set them straight. Now, why is this important? You need to probably know that a little bit about the Roman Church. The Roman Church, if you remember in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, when they all come to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and they're preaching the gospel, and 1,000, 3,000 people get saved. Where did those 3,000 people go? It says they were from all different countries. They spoke all different languages. Well, they were all there for the feast, right? After the feast was over, they all returned back to their hometown, Rome, you know, Cilicia, wherever it is, Asia Minor. And so they come for the, they're like Jews or proselyte Jews who have Gentiles converted to Judaism. They come for the feast. And then after the feast, after the 50 days of celebration, they're filled with the Spirit and they go back to their hometown, back to Rome. And they plant a church. Okay? They have other believers and they start preaching the gospel and people get saved. And lo and behold, it's not just Jews getting saved, it's Gentiles getting saved. And so the church in Rome is made up of Jews and Gentiles. And you got to see, really, every church in the Bible, in the New Testament, is made up of Jews and Gentiles. And when we get to chapter 14, you're going to see like this real struggle happening where they're saying we got to keep these food regulations and the Gentiles are saying we can eat whatever we want. There's constant clash. They're still living under the law. Okay? And so you need to know context. And here's the context. Is you have Jews who are still trying to reconcile the Old Testament scriptures with the gospel, failing to see the gospel was the Old Testament scripture, that the Old Testament scriptures preach the gospel, okay? Because in their mind, they, and in their heart, they believe they have to work for it. When you read, this is what happens when you read scripture, friends. If you're not born again and have your eyes lightened to the truth, you believe you got to work for it. I could go into all kinds of passages, but let me just give you one. The Beatitudes of Matthew 5 is Jesus, like Moses, sitting on the mountain, giving the law of God, okay, for the people. So let me just tell you, I go, this is a freebie, because I really want us to interpret these stuff, this stuff properly. He says, climbs the mountain, seats everybody down, and he sits, and he opens his mouth and says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How do you get into heaven? You have to be humble. You have to be teachable. You have to see yourself as poor, spiritual condition, needing help from outside source. From somebody has to change your heart, change the way you think, change your position on planet Earth so that you can inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody has to do that. Blessed are those who mourn. You're weeping over your sin. This is not about good deeds and helping the poor. This text is never about that. Right. Jesus sits down on the mountain just like Moses, and he's giving them the law of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. This is how you get in the kingdom. Blessed are the meek. Those in great need, they shall inherit the earth. If you're humble and see your needs, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you say, God, how do I get righteous with you? Okay? I mean, it's right there. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. The pure in heart, they shall see God. So that is entrance into the kingdom. And this is a Jewish audience. I mean, most of the people that follow Jesus were Jews. He's just laying it out. He's doing the same thing Paul is doing in Romans. So let's go back to Romans. It's God's word. It's about God's word. How do we hear it? How do we receive it? Okay? In the first slide, it says there's a reference to Matthew 13, which is the four parables, or the four soils, right? The parable of the four soils. Now, three of those soils don't work. They don't receive the word properly. They don't actually, it says, they hear it, and they apply it for a little bit, and they follow it. The last soil is they hear and they understand. It goes deeper than just in the heart. It actually gets internalized, and they start to walk it out and realize what it means to hear the word and walk it out. It's gone from an external to an internal. It's starting to transform them, okay? So, this is where three quarters of the world, if you use that analogy of 75%, let's say three out of four, don't understand what it's all about.
Right.
And I probably vouch for that. God said there's a remnant in Gentiles and Jews. So the reality is these truths have to be illumined by the Holy Spirit. How are they illumined by the Holy Spirit? The Word of God is powerful and effective and sharper than a two-edged sword. It will cut deep. The Holy Spirit will use the Word and do surgery in your heart, and open you up to the truth. So, here we go. The power of the Word of God. If you have a low view of the Word of God, you're not going to get this. But if you have a high view of the Word of God, that it is the Word of God, okay? God gave it to people, to write down and to preach, and it is for the people on how to have life. Okay, so Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is full of living power. New Living Translation is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. That's what the word does. If you read the word of God and you feel yourself getting convicted and something's happening inside of you, that's what it should do. That's what it's supposed to do. It's powerful. It cuts deep, dividing soul and spirit. I read this scripture to you last week, but here's the last part of it. I was talking about Timothy receiving the word of God. 3:14, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. That's parents, particularly in this case, his mother and grandmother teaching him the truth. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Okay, listen to me. Parents, teach your children the Holy Scriptures. Okay, don't sell them short. They get it more than you. Okay, because they have a child's mind. That's how we get into the kingdom, with a child's mind. They have been given you the wisdom. They have given you the wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting Christ. What is given you the wisdom to receive salvation? The Holy Scriptures. They only had the Old Testament. That's what I said last week. They only had the Old Testament. The Old Testament is sufficient enough to save an individual unto salvation in Christ. Okay? All Scripture, all of it, all the Old Testament is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. That's the power of the Word of God. You all know that. I'm sure most of you know that. You're reading, you do your devotions, and God speaks to you the specific situation. Right? Hopefully you know that. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing He wants us to do. So the Word of God is powerful. In Romans 9-11, there are between 26 and 33 specific passages either directly quoting the Old Testament or alluding to those scriptures. Okay? So what is Paul doing in those chapters where he's trying to get the Jews to understand that salvation is by faith, not by works? He's using their Old Testament scriptures, saying God has been saying this all along. Okay? That we looked at that last week. And I just want to continue to show you that the power of the Word of God. Why? Because this whole sermon is about, it's the Word of God that gets you saved, because that's what the Holy Spirit uses to convict you that you need a Savior. 2 Peter 1:20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves or because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. What you read, when you read the prophets, including Moses, who they say was a prophet, that's what Jesus called them. All the way, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So the whole Bible is written by, it's the prophetic word of God. Okay? It's written by God through the Holy Spirit who is speaking to those who are writing. Okay? That's what we believe. That's what it says. All Scripture is God-breathed.
Amen.
Okay? Romans 15:4. Such things were written in the Scripture long ago to teach us. Why did God write down this Scripture? So that we would learn. They give us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. You read the promises, you go, I can't wait for that day. That's what gives you hope to keep going, right? You read Isaiah, like 65, 66, and you know, see the new heaven and the new earth. And you think, oh God, I'm persevering, right? Causes you to keep going no matter what. So what else does the Word of God reveal? It reveals a people who have been chosen out of all the peoples on planet Earth and how they are to relate with that God and how they're to relate with His Word. Okay? So why do we have so much about Israel in our Bible? So we can see ourselves in their failure. So we can see ourselves in them. And that's what the Scripture says. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:6, these events happen as a warning to us so that we would not create evil things as they did. Or 1 Corinthians 10:11, this happened to them as examples to us, and they were written down for our instruction. Okay? So the whole Old Testament and the life of Israel, even today, friends, if you look at Israel today, they are far from God.
Right.
And we look at Israel and we go, what a mess. It's a complete disaster over there. And the more they try to defend themselves, the more the world hates them. And all that is prophesied. There's coming a day when the whole world will rise up against them, and you think the Holocaust is something, and you ain't seen nothing yet, because hopefully we're all gone by then, but if we're still here, it's going to be really hard to watch.
Right.
Because the whole world will attack Israel. And it's starting. Friends, I just thought of this morning. Like, during World War II, you had, Nazi Germany. And you could talk to Germans, and they had no clue what was going on.
Right.
It was a specific, the SS and the Gestapo, and they were attacking Jews. But some Germans knew nothing about what was going on. But over here, we had no clue. Like, around the world. But now anti-Semitism is all over the world. You got mosques burning and schools burning and firebombed and graffiti all over the place on every continent. Okay, this is amplifying. And so we have to realize we don't want to be like the Jewish people, disobedient and doing our own thing. We want to follow God. And that's really what their testimony, God says, I have chosen you to be a light to the Gentiles. What is a light? It's to shine the light. It's to go, this is the way, follow me. You know when you go to a theater and it's dark and the guy brings the light and she takes you to your seat? That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to take you down to where you belong. You belong with Jesus. That's why they exist. The point is to God. So we have these two scriptures here which are a little difficult to understand, but let me say this. Romans 2:13 is not merely knowing the law that brings God's approval. Okay, they knew the law. God didn't approve of them. Those who obey the law will be declared right in God's eyes. You have to obey the law. Even when the Gentiles who do not have God's written law instinctively follow what the law says, they show that in their hearts they know right from wrong. They demonstrate that God's law is written within them, for their own consciences either accuse them or tell them they are doing what is right. What's that mean? The Jewish people have the word of God. They have the law of God. Okay? And you have all these people who don't know God, Gentiles. And they're supposed to be able to, because they're a light to the Gentiles, they're supposed to look at the Jewish people and they say, oh, those Jewish people, look at how they follow God. They're obeying these rules. And you go, wow, I got that same rule in my life. I do the same. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie and cheat. And I believe in a God. I don't know him or who he is, but I follow God. But they know. And there's something inside of me that says, I need to know what they know. Look at they're following, they have a written word, and how come I'm doing it? And so that internal conviction, this internal law that God has placed on every person's heart who comes into planet Earth, they look at the Jews and they say, yeah, they got a real relationship with God. And I need to pursue the God they have so I can have that relationship too. But what did they do? They failed to do that. They failed to be the model and the example they were supposed to be for us. Okay, it says, Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, the whole world held accountable. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So they're under the law, and that law was written for them as an example to us on how to live our lives. But as we watch them obey God and obey the law, we realize, I'm not obeying the law that's inside of me. I steal, I cheat, I lie, I do all the things I'm not supposed to do. I'm a sinner. Okay? And you should be able to go to a Jewish person and see that they have a relationship with God. Okay? But they fail to do that. They're more focused on the works than the God who gave them the law. You understand what's going on? And so they falsely represented God. And that's why God says over and over again, you blew it. You blew it. And now I'm turning to the Gentiles, and I'm going to save the Gentiles. I gave you one mission, follow me with all your heart. And he quotes in Romans 10, Deuteronomy 30. Now Deuteronomy 30 is an amazing text. But if you go down to the next slide, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. He's quoting Deuteronomy 30. If you read Deuteronomy 30, God says over and over, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. Actually, I'm going to circumcise your heart. There's a day coming when I'm going to do major heart surgery on you guys because you can't do it now. It's not a relationship. If you would just follow me and love me, it's about love. Actually, I should go there and read it, but I don't have time. Go home and read Deuteronomy 30, and you will see that what God is looking for is not an external obedience to a set of rules. It's about heart. And the Jewish people were supposed to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the other people on planet Earth were supposed to see those people are obeying God because they love God. And they must know Him. And I want to know Him. And that's why those Jews are an example to me, so I can follow them. And when I know and love God, the same God they do, then I will understand why this law is in my heart. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay? They were supposed to be an example. Romans 10. But in that, God showed the whole world they were guilty of sin. And he goes on that a righteousness from God is available, but it's not through the law. It's through the person of Christ. So, first slide number 5. Israel failed to see God's righteousness. We should be careful not to miss it also. Romans 10. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Mm-hmm. Christ is the, not end of the law, fulfillment. That word means fulfillment. He's the goal. He's the reason why we obey the law. Okay? And why he obeyed the law, he obeyed it, and he paid the price when we disobey.
Right.
Okay, when you disobey the law, you're punishable by death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So here it is. They follow God because they love God. They try their best to obey the law. They can't, and God is going to step in and do it for them. And that's what they're supposed to communicate to us. So the Jewish Messiah, Isaiah 53, is actually the testimony. It's their Messiah that they failed to embrace. It's their righteousness that they try to achieve on their own. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment. He says that in Matthew 5, as a matter of fact. So, Romans 10:11, one message. There's only one message, one way of salvation, no matter who you are. That's what he says. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we looked at chapter 9, and it was all about God's sovereignty, and he chooses, and he elects, and he does whatever he wants, and then we get to chapter 10, but whoever believes. Friends, don't throw one out, keep the other.
Amen.
They're both there, okay? God is absolutely sovereign. Read your Bible, you will see he does whatever he wants with people. He can change someone's heart, he can open their mind, he can make people, you know, as I said, in the war, he can cause them to turn on each other and kill each other. He can do whatever he wants because he's God.
Yeah.
But in his mercy, he also does this invitation. Whoever, come, 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 okay? Whoever believes. And what is Isaiah 55? Come buy, eat, drink without money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give anything to what I'm offering.
That's right.
Okay? It's all me, and it's a free gift. Just come and receive it. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Mm-hmm. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so there's one message. No distinction between Jew and Greek. Paul says it in Galatians 3 also. There's one Lord, one God who is over all, and he's richly giving to all who call upon him. Okay? This whole picture is about a merciful God who richly blesses those who call on him. God's riches in Christ are salvation, sanctification, justification, glorification, grace, whatever you need to live the Christian life, God is giving it to you. Okay? Even finances to do his will, friends. Okay, I mean, we can get into all the riches of Christ. That's a whole other sermon. But Scripture is very clear. There's only one Lord, only one way to get saved. Okay? There's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 4:12.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul says, this is how you get saved. If you call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord is the same as believe. It's the same thing. Lord! I'm a wretched sinner. I keep doing the same thing over and over. I can't meet your expectations, your standards. Please come and deliver me from my attempts to get myself right with you. Ooh, that's a call. That's a cry that God hears. That's a call we should be crying. when we don't know Him. Even when we're struggling in sin, we should call on the name of the Lord. Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me. Okay, so here's the means of salvation. I listed it backwards because if you read it, it's actually, that's the way it is. How then shall they call on Him when they not believe? How shall they believe in Him when they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? So, here's what happens. The call goes out. God, I need you. I'm tired of trying to work this out on my own. I just continually feel the weight of my sin and the displeasure I cause you. Please come. Save me. Which actually happens by the Holy Spirit. But when God hears that call, what happens? A preacher is sent. Someone will come. God will arrange it.
Yeah.
Or you will, listen. For me, it was sitting on a porch in my wife's house, and she says, I want a man with a heart after God. Poof! Error goes into my heart. I realize in that moment, I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. All my life, trying to be a good person, going to church, all the things you do normally to try to make yourself look good, it all failed. But in that moment, the Lord used my wife to preach. She's a preacher's daughter. She takes me to church. I hear the gospel. Okay? The preacher preaches the gospel, the good news. You have to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. You have to hear the story of Christ. The individual believes the gospel. Okay? How will they believe in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So, there it is. No one gets saved other than this way. Okay? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. The problem nowadays is we have totally messed up what the gospel is. Mm-hmm. And it's all about felt needs. And God will meet your need and this need and that need. And you're poor and He'll make you rich. And you're sick and He'll heal you. That's not the gospel, friends. The gospel is you're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. You're separated from God. And God in His mercy and grace sends Jesus to die in your place and give you life through His resurrection. That's a very quick, but if you're ever in a different church, pay attention if they preach the gospel and what kind of gospel they preach. Mm-hmm. Verse 11 says, faith comes by whoever believes on Him. Whoever believes, we looked at believe. It's about trusting, it's conviction that what you're hearing is truth, and I need to accept that truth and receive it into my spirit. Okay? So that individual is actually given faith, according to Ephesians 2. It's faith is a gift, okay? Faith to believe. The individual confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes with the heart that God raised Him from the dead. Now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Look at verse 9, chapter 10. You confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus. Okay, and then you look at verse 12. There's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those scriptures are Old Testament talking about God. Jesus is Lord. He's God. Okay, He's ruler. He's King of the universe. God comes down. That's what the whole gospel is that God comes down and does it for us. Okay, if Jesus is not Lord, He's not God, He's not a Savior. Right? Are you with me? It has to be. You cannot not confess Him as Lord because it is God who took our place on the cross. That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's not just Joe Blow man who says, well, I'll take your place. It's God who comes
down.
That's
right.
Okay? And so we have to believe that with our heart. God took my place. I'm confessing that I could not do it. God did it for me. How did He do it? In the person, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ruler of heaven and earth came down and died in my place. Okay? The moment I believe that in my heart, and that God raised Him from the dead, why is that so important? You need to believe in the resurrection, because the resurrection proves that God accepted the sacrifice of His Son. If God did not receive that as payment for sins, He would have left Jesus in the grave.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's lots of scriptures that talk about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is how we know that God received the sacrifice of His Son. He raised Him from the dead.
That's right.
The moment I believe that, righteousness is imputed and salvation is granted. That's with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm declared righteous and I'm saved when I put my complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what that says. Friends, this is the whole book of Romans. Okay? The whole book of Romans, the key verse is Romans 1:16. I do this in my sleep, but not when I stand up, apparently. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Okay? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God sent Jesus into the world to take our sins, to die, and resurrect to give us new life. That's the gospel. Now, the whole book hangs on this truth. It's all Old Testament. Okay, watch what Paul says. At the beginning of the Romans and the end of Romans, he frames the whole book of Romans in the gospel. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets. It's in the Old Testament, in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is revealed in the Old Testament, born of the seed of David. We see that in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and other places where taught messianic prophecy about the king coming and setting up his kingdom, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. There's one of those scriptures. He declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Okay? It's not just about I believe. It's about obeying the whole message.
That's right.
Okay? The faith, the doctrines that we believe are to be obeyed. You are truly my disciple if you obey what I say.
Right.
Okay? There's no way around it. If a person confesses Jesus as Lord, yet will not obey the gospel, the word of God, he, she is not saved. Okay? Listen to me. He's God.
Yeah.
You don't tell him what to do ever.
No.
You read his word, you hear his Holy Spirit, and you submit. Yeah. That's how you know you're saved. You know, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing, he said, demonstrate fruit unto repentance. Mm-hmm. Demonstrate to me that you really repented and turned from your sinful ways, and now you're obeying the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? You cannot, friends, you cannot say, I believe in Christ and live like hell.
Right.
They just don't go together.
Right.
It's obedience. Romans 16:25. That's how he starts the book. And then he ends the book. Now to him was able to establish you according to my gospel, the good news, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but has now been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures. Okay? It's revealed in the scriptures, has been made known to all nations. You can stop right there and say, there's really no place the gospel hasn't gone.
That's it.
Okay? No matter what missions try to do, and they send people to the 1040 window, there's no place the gospel has not gone, or some remnant of it. According to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Isn't that phenomenal? Like it's the gospel, obey, obey. That's how he frames the whole book. I can expound on that, but I think you get the message. You cannot just receive him as Savior. You have to receive him as Lord. And I'll just say this, because I hear it all the time. Lots of people say, including myself, you need to make him Lord. You need to make him Lord. No, he is Lord. You just believe and submit. That's it. We do that with all kinds of people. We see a cop with his lights on behind. Guess what? You're not going to stand up and start arguing. If you do, you got a problem. But you just submit. I tried that once. It did not go well. I mean, the hand on the gun and everything, I'm submitting. Like, you just submit. Because of who he is. If the queen comes to town, or the king, I guess, now, you're not going to do stupid things, like throw eggs at him. You're going to show him some respect. Because he's the king. I just think, like, It's a little arrogant to think that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe and not have to change our behavior.
Right.
So, all this happens by the word of God, by the gospel. Okay? Romans 10:17. Then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay? There's no other way. Ephesians 2:4. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Here it is. We are dead in our trespasses. We can't do anything to save us. Okay? It has to be an external work of God to awaken us to even respond to Scripture, which I will show you now. James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth, literally born again by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits for his creatures. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, there it is again, obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Peter had a very high view of the word of God. God's grace and mercy opens the mind to receive the truth. That is scriptural, okay? Acts 16:14, which I think I shared last week. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Paul's preaching, okay? The Ethiopian eunuch is reading. They're getting the message. The word is preaching, or Paul's preaching to them. It's the power of the preached word. And God is knowing that that person, as they're hearing the word, is calling out, I want to know you, God. I want to know, what is he talking about? And then God suddenly awakens them to respond to the word of God. Put their faith in Christ, and she's baptized, okay? John 6:44. Now, go home and read John 6. And you will see that it's this constant back and forth between God's sovereignty and man's whosoever. Jesus starts, I mean, John 6:35. I'm the bread of life. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. Okay? No one come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall be taught by God. Mm-hmm. Okay? The prophet said, God will teach them. We need to hear the truth of God's word. Therefore, everyone has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus said it himself. You have to hear and learn, receive, and then you come to Jesus. I can give you Peter as an example in Matthew 16:17, where Peter confesses, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does Jesus say in 16:17? Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Mm-hmm. It comes by divine revelation. Okay? Suddenly, as he's watching Jesus, all these scriptures that he heard about when he's going to synagogue have come alive. And he's awakened, and the Holy Spirit or Father God, poof, here's what you need to understand. Jesus is Christ and Lord. Luke 24, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So, the Holy Spirit and the Word work together. I think, friends, this is like foundational truth, right? This should be like Christianity 101, how the Spirit... Is that true? Mm-hmm. You guys know this? Like, you get this in discipleship? Maybe we should do a discipleship class. But the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word is the one who takes the Word and applies it to your life and opens your mind. Titus 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy... He saved us through the washing of regeneration. If you go to Ephesians 2:5-26, it says that Christ has cleansed her by the washing with the word. Okay? The washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit happens with the word of God. 1 Corinthians 12:3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, you think about this. Well, the devil says Jesus is Lord. The demons in the Bible say Jesus is Lord. Okay? Lots of people can say Jesus is Lord, but it's got to go deeper than that. It's not up here or in here. It's in your heart. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that he's my Lord, and I need to obey him, okay? That he's the God of the universe. If you don't see him as God, then he can't be your Lord.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not going to submit to him because you're going to submit to God first, but Jesus is God. I mean, we get into this whole theological debate. There is none to have, really. Jesus is God. I submit to him because he's God. Okay? God has revealed him to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How do you get saved? The Spirit of God is revealing truth to you as you hear truth.
Yeah.
Okay? The natural man, that's the man who doesn't have the Spirit, totally dead in his sins, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. It's only by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes it come alive in your heart. Okay? Friends, I think that's Christianity 101. You must be born again. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. So God does his part. We need to do ours. What is it? Believe and receive. Now here's, I'm just going to close with the last verses of chapter 10. The Jews, who should have known all this, because they have the scriptures. Verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Quoting Isaiah 53:1, just before the whole thing on the cross. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Indeed they have. Their sound goes out all the earth. I mean, they should know just by Psalm 19, which he's quoting, is the revelation from heaven itself, from creation itself, that there's a God. And from there you pursue it. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. When I read that, I thought of Acts 13, where Paul and Silas are preaching, and the more they preach, the more the Jews get angry. They're just quoting scripture. They're just preaching the gospel. They get angry, anger, and just escalates to the, you know, they want to kill them. I mean, I'll provoke you to jealousy, but the Gentiles, it says in Acts 13, the Gentiles are coming to Christ, and the Jews are getting mad. Okay? I'll move you to anger by a foolish nation. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Gentiles, who never had the scripture, are getting saved because to them it's like this fresh revelation. And all the dots are connecting. The mystery is being unfolded, Paul says, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know there's a God. I see him in creation. I know that I have this internal witness in my spirit that I need to obey him. But I just don't know how to do it. And then you hear the gospel. Ah, I get it. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is taking all your knowledge and revelation that you've received, and it's just opening it up to the truth of Christ. But Israel says, all day long I've stretched up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Now, you can say, wow, these Jews, they just don't get it. Friends, here's the way to read that verse. All day long, book after book, prophet after prophet, after deliverance after deliverance, I keep like calling you back. You sin, I call you back, I forgive you, and you still fall away. I'm like, what a merciful God. Friends, you know, the message is actually called, we see ourselves in them. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to be continually disobeying and having to go back and repent.
Yeah.
We just want to fall in love with Jesus and follow him and have him Lord of our life and let him lead us. That's really what we want. That's all he wanted. God is so merciful. Grab my hand. Come on back. That's what he's doing to his people. There will be a day, friends, when they do come back. But certainly in this time period, from the end of the Old Testament to now, or whenever this revival happens for the Jewish people, there's millions of them who are lost. Unless they hear the good news. God is still working among them. But their story is our story. There's millions of Gentiles who are being lost too because they refuse to bow their knee to Jesus. And we have one mission. Preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. It's what saves people. Amen? Yeah. It's the power of the word. The Holy Spirit will use the word to open their hearts. And so I just encourage you, as I did last time with Mother's Day and the responsibility that mothers have to teach their children the faith, we need to be teachers. We need to be proclaimers and preachers. There's no one. You know, you can't read Matthew 28 without realizing this is Jesus' last words to his church. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Teaching them to obey. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our mission. The gospel is the only way people are going to get saved. There's no other way. They have to hear it, and we're committed to preaching. So I pray for a fresh revelation, a fresh empowering of the Spirit to go and be gospel preachers and people who bring in the harvest. Okay? Problem's not with the harvest. Problem's with the workers. Let's be workers. Thank you, Lord. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.